Thank you, and you may be seated. Living is the thing you do now or never. Which do you? Living is the thing you do now or never. Which do you? Yesterday is a memory. Tomorrow is a fantasy. Today is a gift. That's why we call it a present. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Life. What a beautiful four-letter word is this simple word called life. What a gift. What an opportunity. What a privilege. What a trust that is ours. It matters in the light of eternity, life does. In fact, it may matter more than anything else in all the world. And I'd like to talk with you just a few moments today, out of my heart, about how life matters and why it matters in the light of eternity, and how you can live a life that really matters. How you can live a present life that really matters. The outline is in your bulletin. Let me suggest four things today for our thoughts together. First of all, if you want to live a life that really matters, then God size your dreams. God size your dreams. A couple of months ago, Sandy and I were up in New York City for a little rest and relaxation, and we managed to get in to see South Pacific. And one of the supporting actresses in there has a piece of music in which he says, "You got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true?" I think it's a marvelous piece of work. You got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true? Life is built out of dreams. The dreams that God plants in our hearts and lives. God size your dreams. People are constantly asking me how I became a minister. I have a serious answer to that and a silly answer to that. The serious answer is that God somehow saw gold that was worth refining and a country boy and reached down and called him into the ministry. The silly answer is that if you spend hot August afternoons up against a tin roof in a hay barn long enough, you'll get a calling to something. And I got a calling to the ministry. Randy Posh is the author of the last lecture. He is dying of cancer, and he offered his last lecture as a legacy to his students, his wife, and his children. And in it, he tells a story. When I was 8 years old, my family loaded us up and drove us cross country all the way to Disneyland. I was in awe of the place. I thought it was the most fantastic place I'd ever seen in all of my life. I thought it was the most wonderful environment I'd ever encountered. And as I stood in line with other children, I couldn't wait until I was grown up and be able to come there and make things like they had made. It was the dream of my lifetime. 2 decades later, Randy got a PhD in computer science and immediately dashed off letters of application to Walt Disney Incorporated in every division. As Randy put it, they responded with some of the nicest go-to-hell letters I've ever received in my lifetime. They simply had no place in their organization for somebody like me. How here was a company that hired everything from street sweepers to geniuses, but they had no place for me. But Randy wasn't about to give up. As he likes to say, the brick walls are there to give us the chance to show how badly we really want something. I like that line. The brick walls are there to give us the chance to show us how badly we really want something. In time, he got an interview with a Disney executive, and he convinced him to let him spend his sabbatical there. And the rest, as they say, is history. He became one of the imagineers of the Disney Corporation and got to fulfill his deepest dream. God size
your dreams.
Don't scratch around in the dirt with the chickens when you were meant to soar on wings like eagles. God made you for something good and important. Rise to those occasions. Make something out of your life. Make it matter in the long run. God size your dream. If you want to live the life that really matters, God size your dreams. The second thing I want to say then is to put foundations under them. Henry David Thoreau, and I printed that in the bulletin for you, says, if you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. It is where they should be. Now put foundations under them. Now put foundations under them. Jesus, the master storyteller, told a story about a wise builder and a foolish builder. They both went out to build houses. The wise man built his house on a rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The construction process went well. Both finished their houses and they looked in good time and they looked grand. But then the storms came. The rains fell. The winds blew. The floods rose. And the house on the sand fell while the house on the rock stood firm. It is clear what he was trying to say. It needs no elaboration. Appearances can be deceptive. To all the storms come, and foundations make a difference. Foundations of life make the difference. Here is a simple form. In a simple form, we have a story of life itself. Life requires a firm foundation. Build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. It will make all the difference in the long run. My friends Bob and Judy Fisher interviewed 104 hospice patients for their book, Life is a Gift. I've referred to it a couple of times in the last month. In their book, they say the soon departed are grateful to be dying slowly rather than suddenly or unexpectedly. The reason is that it gives them a little time. It gives them the opportunity to type loose ends, to say the things they need to say. It also gives their relatives a chance to say the things they need to say. Life, they realize, is what is happening in the present, and they seize the day with all the energies they can muster. For the soon departed, the wonder, excitement, and urgent have broken into the present. They've taken all of life, and now that they know that it's going to be cut short, they're building firm foundations under them. Does your life have a firm foundation under it? Is it built on a solid rock? Are the dreams you have up in the air grounded into the depths of the earth? Have you a foundation for your life? If you want to live a life that really matters, you'll put a firm foundation under it. If you want to live a life that really matters, you will rise from your faults and failures. George Bernard Shaw says, a life spent making mistakes is not only more honorable, but more useful than a life spent doing nothing. It is not how many times we fail. It is how many times we get up from failure. I was concerned about a poll I read from CBS News the other day. 64% of Americans are comfortable with coming up short. They know that they're coming up short. But here's the disturbing news. 43% are content to try only once and not to try again. 43% of Americans are content to try something only once, and if it fails, not to try again. 95% admit that after falling down, they now prefer to stay down. 95% say that after falling down, it's just easier to stay down. Few want to keep going, especially when the going is tough. If those statistics are true, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. Because life is a matter of failure. Regrets? I've had a few. How about you? Failures? I've had my share. How about you? Blunders? I've made my fair share of them. Sins? I've committed my part of them in the course of life. How about you? And I'm grateful to family and friends and churches who encourage me to get up and try again. And you know what? I've learned more from my faults and failures than I've learned from my successes and victories. Have you found that to be true? I've learned more from my faults and failures than I have learned from my successes and my victories in life. And here are some things I've learned. I've learned honesty and humility. There's no better cure for an arrogant spirit than a good dose of failure. It'll knock you off your high horse every time. Life can teach us to be great pretenders, dodging the truth within and without. But failure will help us to get real. It will help us build a life from the inside out, rather than from the outside in. Failure will help us walk humbly with our God. Failure teaches us honesty and humility, maybe like nothing else in all the world. Failure teaches us how to change and be flexible. Are you a person who likes to win at any cost? I've won my share of arguments that in reflection wasn't worth winning. I don't know about you. You all don't have that disease, do you? Not at all. I've won my share of fights that weren't worth winning in the long run at all. I just wanted to win for the sake of winning. And even if you're right, what have you gained in the long run? Life teaches us to be flexible and to change with the circumstances. Failure teaches us how to forgive and be forgiven. God invented forgiveness for a past that not even He could change. It is essential to human life. Forgiveness is at the core of who we are and what we are. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Do those six words stick in your throat? Do they cause you to blush? Are they easy on your lips? The Bible is so explicit about it. We pray about it every Sunday because it is so urgent and so important. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let us never let it become routine. It is not routine. Forgiveness is at the core of genuine, authentic living. Let us learn to forgive and to be forgiven. Failure has taught me restoration and release. You know what? It's my observation that there's not much grace in the world. We're okay with people as long as they're doing well. But when people blow it, we're ready to kick them out. We don't want much time with them at all. When people falter in the face of some strong temptation, should we damn them for all time? Should we label people relational failures because they blow it in business or marriage? Should we let go of the brightest minds in the world because they happen to have it? Broken bodies, twisted bodies that are a repulsion to some of us. We live in a throwaway society. But what happens when we start throwing people away? Have we not lost a great asset to all of life? Is it not better to seek the road of restoration and release? Is it not better to take a broken soul and mend it again and put it together again so that it's productive to you and others and to society as a whole. These are the things we can learn if we take failure as a teacher in the midst of our lives. If you want to live a life that really matters, don't be afraid of failure. Not at all. Take it, sort it out, rise from it, learn to forgive and be forgiven, and learn to be restored. That's what the Bible is all about. That's what the Bible is all about. Don't throw people away. Don't cast people off as useless. Don't judge people as if they have no worth whatsoever. If you want to live a life that really matters, learn to rise from your failures. Learn to put them to good use. Learn good lessons from your blunders. You'll be a better person if you do. One more thing I want to say. And that is, if you want to live a life that really matters, then learn to live the questions that come your way. Rainer Rilke 100 years ago said, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart. Try to love the questions themselves like locked rooms and little books that are written in a very foreign language. To be human is to ask questions and seek answers. Take a stroll with any child, and you're going to be full of questions. They're going to ask you over and over, why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why does the sun go down when it sets? How do birds know to fly south in the winter? And if you pass those tests, they'll take you on to deeper levels, more serious questions in the midst of life. If Granddaddy who just died went to heaven, how come we just put him in the ground? My dear friend up the street is dying with cancer. Does that mean I'm going to die too? If God is real, how come I can't see him and touch him and feel him? All the questions, the quest for answers, answers to problems, answers to diseases, answers to life itself. But in spite of our scientific savvy and our technological advancements and our communication miracles, the questions go on. Do they not? The questions go on. They haven't changed in my lifetime. Not the big ones. They were there when I was a kid. And they are there now. And you know what I've learned over the years? I've learned to live the questions. To live into them, to lean into them, to find faith and hope and love, to face them. You see, there are three things that abide, and they are faith and hope and love. And they will take you through the questions of your life. You live the questions by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes faith is evident and clear and easy. We pray for a miracle and the miracle comes. We pray for a good marriage and we get a good marriage. We pray for healthy kids, and the kids turn out healthy. But not all faith is so certain. Some faith calls for trust, not certainty. Sometimes God is silent. Sometimes no miracles happen. Sometimes cancer comes back. Sometimes kids run away. Sometimes the business fails. And it's then we're asked to walk by faith too, you know. A kind of faith that is full of trust. A deep, deep belief that God is in there with you. Helping you each step of the way. God is there. That is faith. God is there. And if you trust God, He will see you through to the other side. That is faith. God is there in the valley with you. You can count on that. You can count on that. So three things abide. Faith, hope is the second. Emo Bruner said, hope is to the soul what oxygen is to the body. Absolutely essential. Hope is to the soul what oxygen is to the body. Absolutely essential. I've been having trouble these days. I had a trouble this morning baptizing babies. I'm tremendously short of breath. It's scary to be short of breath, to reach down to get your breath. Some of you know what I'm talking about. To reach down and get your breath and it's not there. It's frightening, scary as it can be. But then I remember that God is closer than the air I breathe. That God is more real than the air I breathe. And it brings peace. And it brings comfort. And you know what? It helps me get my breath. From a purely physical point of view, it helps me get my breath. Three things abide in life. Faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest of these. What can I say? You as a church, have taught me how to love and to be loved. It is the most wonderful thing in all the world. When love grows into commitment and attainment deepens into acceptance, questions lose their urgency. And the fear of life fades. Life matters. Life matters. It matters in the light of eternity. So I say to you today, live it all. Live every breath of it. Live it now. Live it for the glory of God and the good of people. Take life. And live it. It is God's gift to you. Amen.